مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة فلا تظلم نفس شيئا وإن كان مثقال حبة من خردل أتينا بها وكفى بنا حاسبين صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان عند أخيه مظلمة فليتحلله منه اليوم قبل أن لا يكون درهم ولا دينار وفي رواية ومن قبل أن يؤخذ له من حسناته فإن فنيت حسناته أخذ من سيئات أخيه فطرحت عليه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected ulama kiram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran the perfect nuskha and prescription by which every aspect of the life of this Muslim in this world can be made a source of him earning great rewards in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا That for you in the Rasul of Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the most perfect example, uswatun hasana. This example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this command of the Quran, that to adopt your role model and example in your way of life, that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not confined and restricted to ibadat. Allah's Rasul said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. He said, make salah like you see me making salah. This we understand, that if salah is not like the salah of Rasulullah, it will never be accepted. Likewise, when it comes to our fasting, when it comes to our tilawat of Quran, when it comes to our zikrullah, when it comes to our activities in the masjid or the activities that are confined to the musalla, this much perception or understanding generally is there that we have to adopt the role model and example of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately, a very large percentage of us tend to restrict and confine this to ibadat only. When I read salah, I must read like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam read. But when it comes to my nikah ceremonies, when it comes to my business and financial transactions, there I am not required to follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I can follow some other example. This is a very grave error that occurs. Allah says, Uswatun Hasana. The most perfect example is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only in the masjid, but from head to toe in every aspect of your life. If you will follow the example of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person may be earning his livelihood. He may be fulfilling basic mundane necessities of his day-to-day life. He's earning money, he's filling his coffers, adding to his bank balance, getting financial status. But what is Islam and Sharia telling us? That adopt the talimat and the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your livelihood, and not only will Allah give you dunya, through that livelihood you will earn akhirat also. And what type of akhirat? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, At-tajiru as-saduqul amin, ma'an nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada. He said, the truthful and amanatdar and trustworthy businessman of my ummah, Allah will raise him tomorrow with the anbiya. Allah will raise him with the siddiqeen. Allah will raise him with the shuhada, the martyrs, those who gave their life in the path of Allah, the honest businessman, Allah will raise him with them. Unfortunately, if we have to analyze and look at the conduct today of this Muslim ummah in the marketplace, One wonders, is this the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We are entering into transactions. We are entering into partnership deals. Person, when he requires funds for some project, then he is a sheep, makes all sorts of promises. When the time comes for delivery, the same sheep becomes a wolf. Promissory notes are signed with absolutely no intention of honoring them. No value to the zaban of a Muslim. If you look at the court roll or the court register, brother fighting with brother, brother fighting with cousin, this Muslim taking that Muslim to court. Behind all this is one fundamental basic weakness. That we have not understood it as a requirement of Shariat. We have not understood it as a requirement of our Akhirat. That we have to adopt the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even in our business dealings. Partnership today, they say one ship that never sails is a partnership. Yet if you look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says? He says, Allah says, who? Allah says, Yaqulullah, ana thalithu sharikain, ma lam yakun ahaduhuma sahibahu. That when two Muslims enter into a partnership deal, Allah says, I am the third partner. I am the third partner with you. When? For how long? Till when is my partnership valid? مَا لَمْ يَخُنْ أَحَدُهُمَا صَاحِبَهُ. As long as the one does not make khiyanat of the other. As long as the one does not usurp the right of the other. فَإِذَا خَانَ خَرَجْتُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمَا. When khiyanat takes place, then Allah says, I leave that partnership deal. Allah forgive us, today even before the deal can happen, already the intention is to make khiyanat. If you look at the maqam, the status of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we cannot even imagine, no words can do justice to his maqam and status. Yet look, despite that status, one simple example, what is his maqam, what is his status in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala? Few months ago was Rabiul Awwal, people celebrated the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama say that was not his birth, that was his zuhur. Allah made his Nabi Zahir to the world. When was he created? When did Allah make him his Nabi? Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala nu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mata wajabat laka nubuwa ya Rasulullah. O Nabi of Allah, when did Allah make you his Nabi? What did Abu Huraira expect the response to be? According to the Tirmizi Sharif riwayat, I was 40 years, 6 months, 10 days of age. It was the 21st of Ramadan. I was in Ghar Hira, the cave of Hira. Jibreel came with the first 5 verses of Surah Alaq, and Allah made me his Nabi. That is what Abu Huraira expected to hear. But what did my Nabi say? He said, Kuntu Nabiyan, wa inna Adama munjadilun bayn al ma'i wa teen. Adam alayhi salam's mold had not yet been formed, and already I was the Nabi of Allah. When? Quran and Hadith is silent as to specifically when. But there is ishara, there is indication. Qazi Ayaz Rahimullah in his Shifa mentions the riwayat of Ka'b Akhbar. That Qara Allahu Surah Yasin. Allah made tilawat of Surah Yasin. Qabla an yakhluq as-samawati wal-ard. Bi alf sana. 1,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Allah made tilawat of Surah Yasin. How old is this universe? Scientists estimate 13 to 14 billion years. True or not true, Allah knows best. Hypothetically, if you assume that, 14 billion years is the age of this universe. 1,000 years before that, Allah made tilawat of Surah Yasin. And what is Surah Yasin? Yasin, wal Qur'an al-Hakim, innaka lamina al-mursaleen. By the qasam of the Qur'an al-Hakim, innaka, verily you are my Nabi. In the Arabic language, when the object that is addressed is absent, then you use the word who. Innahu lamina al-mursaleen. When the object that is being addressed is present, the word kaf is used. Innaka lamina al-mursaleen. That maqam, that status, that martaba. Yet what was the diligence with which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam conducted his financial affairs? Very often we speak about his birth, every aspect of his life is mapped out. occasion of Jummah is very limited. But there is one incident that occurred 5 days before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this incident is extremely important, especially in the current environment of treachery and khianat that is taking place in the ummah, for us to understand and appreciate this incident. It was the 29th of Safar. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed some janaza salah. After Asr salah, he became very ill, fever started. That night, ghaliban, it was the turn of Aisha radiallahu anha. The next day was the turn of Hafsa radiallahu anha. Contrary to his practice, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was in the home of Hafsa, he asked, "Tomorrow whose turn is it?" Next day was Maymuna radiallahu anha. There again he asked, "Tomorrow whose turn is it?" From this, the wives, the Azwaj-e Mutahharat, our mothers, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they discerned that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam wishes to spend the days of his illness in the home of Aisha. So they got together, made mashwara, and they came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, "Gladly, we are prepared from our side to relinquish our rights. You can spend the days of this illness in the home of Aisha." Even in bimari, even in illness, his adal and his justice was kept in place. They handed over their rights. He did not express his wish. It was a Monday, 7 days before the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the home of Aisha. The illness of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such. One sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I can see you are suffering fever greatly." What was his response? He said, "Inni u'ak kama yu'ak rajulani minkum." The fever I am going through is double what any one of my ummah will go through. The sahabi immediately realized and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, perhaps Allah wants to give you double reward." He said, he smiled and he said, "Yes." But together with this, there was another great wisdom. Why did Allah put his Nabi through such illness, through such pain, through such difficulty? So that no excuse remains for anyone till Qiyamah. That because of fever, because of headache, because of this problem, because of that problem, I couldn't make salah or I couldn't carry out the command of Allah. Even in that illness, we have the perfect example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 5 days remained in his sojourn in this world. The level of his illness was double what anyone would experience. Severe fever, severe headache, in and out of consciousness, bandage tied to his forehead. In this condition, on the morning, 5 days before his demise, he requests that water from the 7 wells of Medina should be gathered. He wanted to take ghusl, to get some himmat, to get some strength. There was no tub in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. They managed to find a tub in the house of Hafsa radiallahu anha. The tub was brought, water from the 7 wells of Medina was gathered. Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam made ghusl, he got some himmat and strength, and then supported one side with Abbas radiallahu anhu, other side Ali radiallahu anhu, his feet dragging on the ground, he couldn't even walk. In that condition, he was taken to the masjid. He goes on to the minbar, masjid is full, sahaba full of anticipation. In this condition of illness and weakness, what was the dard? What was the pain? What was the concern? What was the worry in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What was the message that caused him to leave his house in this condition? Ya ayyuhan nas, O my ummah, O humanity, O people, innahu qad dana minni huququn min bayni adhurikum. Ala faman kuntu lahu jaladtu lahu dhahran fahadha dhahri falyastaqdi waman akhadhtu lahu malan fahadha mali falyakhudh minhu waman kuntu akhadhtu lahu 'irdan fahadha 'irdi falyastaqdi. What was the worry? What was the concern? He said, "Oh my sahaba, oh my ummat, I have lived a long time with you. I have interacted with you. I have had dealings with you. I have had social and financial interaction with you. In this period of time, it is possible I may have hurt someone. If I have hurt someone, today my personality is present in front of you, please hit me back. I may have insulted someone. I may have hurt the feelings of someone. Today I am standing in front of you, please insult me back. I may have usurped the wealth of someone. Who is saying this? Who is saying this? On the one hand, his wujud. On the one hand, his maqam. Tomorrow you will see Jannat is haram upon any Nabi until he does not enter Jannat. Allah will not start his intercession without his sifarish. Allah will not start the hisab without his sifarish and intercession. Tomorrow you will see the flag of Allah's praise will be in his hand. Yet what is he saying? Is there anyone whose wealth I have usurped? Please demand your right back from me today. Why? He said, do not feel that I will be upset with you. The most beloved one amongst you is the one who will demand his right from me today, or will make it halal today, so that tomorrow when I meet Allah on the day of judgment, it will be in a condition where I have not made zulm on anyone. This was the extent of worry. This was that concern that drove Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into the masjid at this time of sickness, this time of pain, this time of weakness. He said, "Man kana inda akhihi madlamatun falyatahallalhu minhu al-yawm." O my ummah, if you have done anyone down, if you have made zulm on anyone, if you have usurped the rights of anyone, if you have hurt the feelings of anyone, make it halal today. Make it halal today, before that day when rands and dollars and dinars and dirhams will not count, the currency there will be something else. What will the currency there be? The currency there will be your neki and your good deeds. As the Shaykh Maulana Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali, in his kitab he mentions that on that day, what will the payment be if you have done someone down for 2 pennies, 2 danik? 2 pennies, you will have to pay with 700 accepted salah. Whether we have 700 accepted salah or not is doubtful. That day, one, the riwayat of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a plaintiff will come before Allah. "Ya Allah, this brother of mine ate up my haq. He took my land or he took my wealth unjustly," whatever it may have been. Allah will say to that person, "Pay him back. Pay him back." This person will say, "How can I pay him back? It is not here." Allah will say, "Where is it?" He will ask, "Where is it?" Allah will say, "It is in Hawiya." Hawiya. Jahannam has 7 layers. Hawiya, Jahim, Saqar, Lada, Hutama, Sa'ir, and Jahannam. 7 layers. As you go lower in Jahannam, the intensity of the azab of Jahannam increases. The lowest level of Jahannam is Hawiya, which has been kept for the munafiqeen. "Inna al-munafiqeena fi ad-darki al-asfali min an-nar wa lan tajid lahum naseera." Allah says the munafiqeen will be in Hawiya. Even Abu Jahl won't go to Hawiya. Munafiqeen will be in Hawiya. Allah will say to this Muslim, "That haq of your brother that you ate up is in Hawiya. Go and fetch it." He will have to go through the 7 levels of Jahannam till he reaches Hawiya. He will pick up that haq, whether that land or that well that he usurped, carry it on his shoulders and start climbing up till he reaches the brink of Jahannam. Again, he will be flung back into Jahannam. That haq will fall back into Hawiya. He will have to go back, and this will carry on for as long as Allah wants. One occasion, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed janazah salah. After the janazah salah, he was leaning against the wall of Baqir. All of a sudden, Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala, who is the narrator of the hadith, he says, "My Nabi reacted, jolted as if he had received a shock. He looked up to the heavens. Then he caught his head, placed his 2 hands on his head like this. And he said, 'Subhanallah, ma unzila min at-tashdeed.' What a weighty hukam has come from Allah. What a weighty hukam has come from Allah." Sahaba were not like you and I. Desensitized. Desensitized when nothing affects us. Nowadays, even the janazah is being lowered into the ground in the Qabristan, and the cell phones are still ringing. Someone is doing some business deal. Someone is doing some other conversation. While the janaza is going into the ground, even there also we don't take ibrat. Sahaba were not like that. When they saw this, they became petrified, shocked. They didn't even have the guts or the courage to ask, Ya Rasulullah, what hukum has come? Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Jahaz says, it took me 24 hours, one day to muster up the courage to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, mat tashdeed alladhi unzil, what was that weighty command that Jibreel came with that caused you to react like that yesterday? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, walladhi nafsu Muhammadin biyadihi, that a person of my ummah can become shaheed in the path of Allah, be given life, then become shaheed, then be given life, then become shaheed, then be given life, and he owes someone something, has usurped the right of someone. Someone has some haq over him. By the qasam of that being in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will not enter into Jannah until that haq is paid. This is the extent, the emphasis, which Quran and Hadith, which the lifestyle of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam has placed on this ummah when it comes to our dealings with our fellow Muslim brothers. When it comes to the manner in which we speak to people, when it comes to the manner in which we deal financially, interact with people, mistakes will take place. But what is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying in this pitiable condition? He says, make it halal today. Make it halal today before that day. He goes off the mimbar. Zuhr Salah takes place. After Zuhr Salah, he climbs back onto the mimbar. And again, the same message. Oh my ummah, I have lived a long time with you. Is there anyone that has any right over me? Demand it today. One person stands up and he says, Ya Rasulullah, you owe me 3 dinar. He says, I am not accusing you, nor do I require you to take an oath. But jolt my memory, remind me, for what reason do I owe you this money? The Sahabi says that one day, one beggar, one poor man came to you. He asked you for help. You didn't have anything. You told me to give it to him, 3 dinar, and said, I must collect it from you later. Rasulullah ﷺ says, yes, I remember now what you are referring to. He returns to Fazl bin Abbas, his cousin, and he says, Fazl, the payment of this debt is upon you. There was no question of him paying back that 3 dinars. Why? Because what was his condition? The last night of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this earth. And there wasn't enough oil in the lantern. There wasn't enough oil to light the lantern in the home of Nubuwwat. Aisha, our mother, radiallahu anha, goes to the Ansari neighbor. And she says, oh my sister, lend me some oil. Lend me some oil so that I can light the lantern in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That home which lit the light of Hidayat in the whole ummah, in the whole of humanity, this was the extent of faqr and faqa to which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept himself in. This level of poverty, this level of hardship, so that no one in this ummah can have any excuse. Fazal, you paid this 3 dinars on my behalf. What was the message? What was the dard? He said, oh my ummah, any haq anyone has over you, make it halal today. Do not say, I fear the embarrassment of this dunya. Do not say, I am feeling embarrassed, that is why I can't go to that person, or I can't request maafi, or I can't make attempts to pay back. Allah, la taqul fuduhu dunya. Do not say, I fear the embarrassment of this world. Why? Allah, inna fuduhu dunya aysar min fuduhu al-akhirah. He said, the embarrassment of this dunya is very little. It is inconsequential. It is insignificant when compared to the embarrassment of akhirah. His maqam, his status, 5 days remain in the sojourn in this world. And what drives him to the masjid? This concern, this worry. Weigh that in the light of the present situation of the ummah. Weigh that in the light of the extent of which the rights of others are being usurped. Female inheritance, it is as if it is an unheard of thing. That Islam has given rights to our women folk when it comes to inheritance. When it comes to our financial dealings, all sorts of promises made with absolutely no intention to pay back. My respected brothers, this is also the ta'lim of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is also following his example. This is also uswa hasana, that we clean up our financial dealings. Unfortunately, today we pride ourselves on ambiguity. Go into a deal, don't write down anything. Everything, there's no level of transparency. Few years pass, brother is fighting with brother, cousin is fighting with cousin. What are we doing? Not only are we depriving ourselves of earning the great reward in akhirat, my respected brothers, we are destroying our akhirat through this. Our salah, our zakat, our hajj, our tabligh, our ta'lim, whatever it is, all this will be used, Allah protect us, to pay back this haq that we have eaten off, if we will not make attempt to redress it in this world. When it comes to following the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to following his example, it is these aspects that we also have to bring into front. That is, that we also have to bring to the fore. When a Muslim enters into a business deal, his business deal must be pure. There must be value to his zaban. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you will do this, if you will do this, there is no earning. There is no earning. There is no earning that is more virtuous in the sight of Allah Ta'ala than the earning that is halal, than the earning that is earned in the pure way." May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhidun.
Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.